And of course, Dr. Brian Weiss, those of you on hold from last hour, the two of you will take your phone calls, your questions, but then let's get into your miracle stories when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back, Dr. Brian Weiss, noted author, of course, and researcher, and also clinician. Miracles happen. They do. They happen all the time, Brian, don't they?
Yes, absolutely, all the time.
You know, when these miracles occur, do we manifest them, or is there some outside influence doing this to us?
I believe that it's an outside influence, even though we're all connected. So at some level, you know, everything is energy. But actually, they seem to be happening from outside of us. It's in the religions actually have a term or a word for this called grace, that is, the reaching down of a hand from the other side to help us all out. I think it's more like that, wherever the hand is coming from, the higher dimensions. But I don't think it's just from within us. It's not just manufactured by us. It's not a psychological thing. It's really from without.
Let's go to Richard, Long Island, New York, who was waiting last hour. Hey, Richard, go ahead.
Hey, George, great show, and thanks for taking my call.
You are welcome.
Yeah, Dr. Weiss, I just wanted to say to you, sir, what a refreshing breath of fresh air you are from somebody that came from a traditional medical and psychotherapeutical background to be exposed to these things as a skeptic and to be open enough to let them in and realize all that you've realized. I'm going to ask you to do something. If you don't want to do it, it's okay. But I kind of wanted you to differentiate when you're talking about things carrying on beyond this life between the soul or consciousness and personality and ego, those three entities. Because just like we drop the skin, we don't take some of the things that we call me beyond this life with us. And I also would like you to comment if, when you regress any of these people and they go into the previous life, you notice a totally distinct, as a psychotherapist, notice a totally distinct personality change when they're in the other existence of the other life, recounting it.
Both, Richard. You can see personality change for sure, but there seems also to be some element of a continuity. You're right to differentiate those terms. When I think of soul or consciousness, I think of that more pure in that sense, that part of us that goes on after the death of the physical body. But our ego, that's sort of our personalities, these are more temporary states. These are dropped pretty much when we go to the other side. Or if they persist, they do not persist for very long. Whereas the soul is the immortal part, the eternal part. And it's such a sublime thing. We can't even really describe it in words. Whereas the ego or the personality, that's the part of us that often has to deal with the day-to-day events we in our lives. Our ego is how we act and our temper and our rational abilities, our executive functions, our values, those things. The soul doesn't have that in a way. It's much more global. Much more pure in that sense. So it's hard to put into words because sometimes I notice when people go to the other side, when they die in one of these past lives during a regression, they may feel that they have to eat, for example, on the other side, and they don't. But temporarily they may stay with that bit of delusion, and then they find out, no, I don't need this. I don't need to eat. I'm a spiritual being now. I don't have a physical body. No need for food. But if they wanted to eat, food would be there. It would be fabulous. And yet it's just a temporary state. So we shed, in a way like shedding a skin, we shed the personality. We shed the ego. We may not do it immediately, but pretty soon after we go to the other side, because the other side is much more pure, and we realize we don't need these artificial constructions anymore. So that in a nutshell is the differentiation between ego and soul.
You're still doing workshops, aren't you?
Yes, I still do workshops. I kind of teach in that way, George. I still go around the world doing doing these workshops, and they're experiential workshops. So we'll do group regressions in the workshops. I'll take the whole group back. It's very safe to do that. And other exercises, and I'll talk. I can't see people in the office anymore. It just got too much. So I train therapists to do this work. They come from all over the world, and we do that twice a year. And I'll do workshops. As I mentioned, I just did one in Washington, recently in Vancouver. I do it in New York, in Miami, in Japan, in South America, in Europe, in Italy every year. There's so much interest in this from all over the world that it's, I can't even go to a fraction of the places that invite me. But so I just go where I feel I can speak to a large number of people and do that efficiently. So that's why I thought that like Sylvia, who called earlier, should come to a workshop. She'll have her own experiences.
Some people think that they're from Atlantis, Brian. What do you think?
Actually, some people are. That some people have described this, what we think of as an ancient civilization, even though it was quite advanced in many ways, working with energies. There's something to it. Too many people have talked about this civilization in wherever in the Atlantic or the Eastern Mediterranean, even that may have influenced Egyptian culture and knowledge and wisdom in its demise. And they'll also talk about a civilization that was in the Pacific, and they'll call it Mu or Lemuria or words like that. And yet people, even if they can't name it, they're describing a similar culture. So I think there is something to that. And years ago, I regressed Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, a famous psychiatrist who was a pioneer with the NDE, the near-death experience. And she had a very strong and powerful Atlantean lifetime.
How do you regress someone?
What's
the technique?
What I do, George, is I have them, and I just, it's funny, last week I was, I regressed Katie Couric for her television show. And she had an experience. And it's, she was asking, what do I do? How do I do this? And I said, well, all you have to do is sit comfortably. You can sit or lie down, close your eyes. Then I take them through a muscular relaxation, just from facial muscles, jaw, relaxing completely, neck, shoulders, back, down the body. Then I have them imagine, I deepen the state a little bit, certain techniques for deepening, have them imagining themselves in a beautiful garden or place of safety. And then I say to them, let's begin going backwards in time. Now, they're already very relaxed. Very deep state of relaxation. The mind is focused. And I say, basically, in a few moments, I'm going to count down from 5 to 1. Let's go to childhood. I usually start with that. And let yourself remember a pleasant or important childhood memory, just to show them that they can do this. And they'll do that. And then the person having the regression can talk, even while they're deeply relaxed, and they can tell me what they're experiencing. So if they're in a childhood memory, for example, I'll have them tell me where it is, home, school, vacation, grandparents' home, wherever it is, outside in the backyard or inside, and describe what they're remembering. And then we'll go further back to maybe infancy. And then I'll take them back into a past life, just the same technique, going through a door, many different types of what we call bridges to go back, and then they'll start to remember that also.
Did you ever have a situation, Brian, where you could not reach someone, you could not bring them out of it?
No, I could always bring them out of it because it's just concentration. You can't get stuck. That's sort of, again, one of those myths about it.
Yeah.
Scary
only myths.
One time, really.
Aha!
Yes.
No, only
time,
one time.
Temporarily.
You never
was someone
came back.
Who is so relaxed, someone with a great deal of stress and tension in their lives, a woman and a patient of mine. And I knew the next patient was obsessed with time. that if she didn't get her full session, hour, she like was counting minutes. And most people don't do that, but the next patient did. So when I was trying to bring this woman out of it, she didn't want to come out. She was so relaxed for the first time in a long time. And I whispered gently into her ear, if you don't come out now, I'm going to have to charge you for an extra session. Huh. And she was right out of it. So it was just her wanting to stay in the relaxed state. She didn't care if she was running over time-wise. So really, you can't get stuck because it's concentration. That would be like going to the movies and watching Ben-Hur or Spartacus and getting stuck in ancient Rome. You can't get stuck because you're just watching. You're concentrating. You're not actually there.
Next up, we go to Joe in Bellevue, Nebraska. Hey, Joe, go ahead.
Hey, good morning. This is Joel.
Joel, okay.
Joel from Bellevue.
All righty.
It's one of those miracle stories. I was walking home one night. It was early Wednesday morning, about 3 a.m. or so, and nobody was out but me, and the car was coming by, and it hit me, and I ended up through the windshield.
Oh, jeez.
And the driver took off, and it just so happened that we got a volunteer fire department here, and they had went on a mistake call, or a call that was no good. They were called back, and they were on their way back to the station, and they came across the accident. And
right there at the right time.
Yeah, and I ended up, all I had was a few scratches. My whole head and shoulder went into the windshield, through the windshield.
Wow.
And it just so happened that they had come by at the right moment. And
what would have happened, Joel, had they not come by?
Well, probably would have died because I was. You know, a few scratches, but I was still bleeding pretty good.
Yeah, bleeding out on us.
It just, you know.
All right, Brian, analyze that one.
Well, it falls into, I don't think that there really are coincidences.
No, me
neither. That here, you know, everything had to fall right into place at that moment in the dark to find Joel, to that fire rescue vehicle, whatever, to be there. Because that was a pretty violent accident, going through the windshield, getting cut by the glass, all of that going on. And, you know, that's what I hear these things all the time, that if you think statistically, the odds of that happening, a false call going in, so they're on the road where Joel is injured, it's just such a improbable combination of events that I have to think there was some destiny involved in that. It just wasn't Joel's time yet.
But when it is your time, there's not much you can do about it, is there?
No, I think we all have our time. It may fluctuate a little bit. I think of it like being on a bus or a train, and you have to get off by the last stop. But maybe you get off the stop before that or the stop before that one. You have a choice there. But basically, when it's your time, it's your time. And you'll go to the other side and either plan the next life, or perhaps you've graduated and don't have to come back here. You'll just be helping out from the other side. But when it's your time, it's your time. But this was not Joel's time. He still has things to do here. So one of Joel's tasks is to figure out, why was he saved? What does he need to do? There's a reason for that.
Well, there sure is. Okay, thanks for that, Pamela. Is in Madison, Wisconsin, but not ready. Steve is in Youngstown, Ohio. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, George. Dr. Weiss, how are you?
Thank you. Good.
Hey, the miracle story that I have occurred back in 2005. My ex-wife had another child with another guy. I had three kids, and they were just babysitting this little boy. He was three at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was on the phone with a guy from work, and at some point, I'm looking around for this little kid, and I yelled for my daughter. I said, where's your brother at? And she made the comment. She goes, I don't know. He was up there with you.
Oh.
And I said, oh, really? I said, well, go get him. He's probably downstairs screwing with, you know, and we had a downstairs bathroom where the cat box was. And
yeah, just playing
go
around.
Go find him. Yeah. You know, go find him. And I got up to go down there to look, and I don't know if this makes sense to you, Dr. Weiss, but something physically grabbed my head and turned it, and I looked, and the screen door going out onto our deck to our pool was open.
Oh.
And I ran outside, and I don't know what caused me. I literally sprinted out, and he was laying at the bottom of the pool.
Oh, my God.
And I jumped in, and I grabbed him, and I picked him up, and I squeezed him, and he started coughing. And, you know, I called my ex-wife, obviously, and told her, you know, you got to get him to the doctors. But he was fine. I mean, we...
What, did he cry said, when he came out of it?
You know, yeah, he was never unconscious. He was just laying, you know, looking. His eyes were wide open looking at me.
Yeah.
And he's got him so fast.
But I mean, I don't know if I subconsciously just heard the splash or whatever, because the doctor said that he couldn't have been underwater. He didn't have any signs of any kind of near drowning or anything.
Jeez, you got him at the right time, Steve. Gee.
But I just don't understand, you know, but I always told people that I physically, it was like, I'm shaking right now telling you this, because I remember physically feeling something stopping me in my tracks and literally turning my head. Because if I would have walked downstairs and started looking for him, you know, around, where's he at? You know, God only knows what could have happened. But that's probably one of the most impactful things that ever happened to me.
That's a dramatic story, Steve. Thank you so much. Brian.
Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
That one's a miracle all the way.
Yeah, there's another one. I love these miracle stories because people have them. And sometimes, as I mentioned, they're reluctant to share it with others because they don't want to be considered strange or weird or it's too different or unusual, but they're beautiful and they really help people because a lot of people do have these experiences. I think if it wasn't Steve just like hearing a splash or something, you would have heard it. It wouldn't physically take your head and turn it. I think that's how these things happen, when that grace happens, when that intervention happens, whatever it is, angels, spiritual power, energy, something took his head and physically turned him to the pool. And he knew right away and went there, and it was clearly in time and good. And those are the miracles. And this physical force, this physical presence, to me, that's, you know, and I come upon this as a clinician, as a psychiatrist, but I still have to call it the divine. There's something bigger.
There's got to be.
Yeah. And Steve experienced that. It's the connection to the other side. It saved the little 3-year-old's life. And Steve is still shaking now. Just, I'm sure it happened quite a while ago, but he's just in remembering it, the power, the immediacy, it's right there.
Puts chills up your spine. We're coming back. We'll take final phone calls with Dr. Brian Weiss on Coast to Coast AM. Hey, we're going to be taping in a couple months, year number 6 of the History Channel's Ancient Aliens. So that's going to be a go. Tomorrow, by the way, on Coast to Coast, a split show as we talk for the first couple hours about how to have luck and create your own good fortune, followed by a story on ETs. And when we come back with Dr. Brian Weiss, let's take your miracle stories right here on Coast to Coast AM. Back with Brian Weiss. Brian, how many years ago did you write Many Lives, Many Masters?
That came out in 1988, so 25 years ago.
God, does it seem that long ago?
In some ways, yes. In some ways, no. But the work that I began with Catherine was 1980, because I didn't write the book for some years after working with her. I was concerned with my reputation and career and reaction. So it's really 33 years of doing this work, and 25 since Many Lives, Many Masters came out.
Okay, let's go to final questions and miracle stories for you. We go to Michael in Sandpoint, Idaho, west of the Rockies. Hi, Michael. Go ahead.
Hi there. Hello, Dr. White. I'm enjoying the show immensely. And unfortunately, I'm in a very precarious position. And something you said earlier and told me to call, and I've been trying to call the station for about 15 years. This is the first time I've gotten through, so it's kind of a miracle in itself. But
it sure
you
is.
Said, when you said it is our time to go, it's our time to go, I had to call because I'm dealing with some terminal cancer right now. They wanted to give me chemo and radiation and all the usual stuff. And I said, hey, when it's your time to go, it's your time to go. None of that poison is going to stop it. But what I'm wondering, and I'm struggling with this immensely because I'm facing it, how much pain do we endure on this side before we can let go? My father was congestive heart failure, and he unplugged me. He said, if you want to say goodbye, come say goodbye, because after a week, I'm unplugging this machine. And he did, and he died. I don't know if you call that suicide when you know you're going to die. I just don't understand the moral implications of this situation.
Well, for your father, that is, Michael, I'm sorry.
My father, I was just as an example, when my father died of congestive heart failure,
right,
he was hooked up to some machines that were keeping him alive.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, if you people want to say goodbye, you know, come say goodbye because I'm unplugging this machine in a week. And he did.
On his
he
own.
Died. Yeah. But see, now I'm facing cancer. I have terminal cancer right now, and it's very, very painful.
Stage 5, I take, right?
Yeah, it's pretty bad. And the pain is increasing, and I don't know how much I'm going to be able to take.
Cancer of the what, Michael?
It's colorectal cancer.
Okay.
Again, when it's your time, it's your time. But it's different when you have this kind of severe pain, or your father had this, especially when it's irreversible, that it's not the same thing as like, oh, you know, I'm jumping off a building because my stock went down 10
right.
points. That's, and otherwise I'm perfectly healthy. It's very, very different. I think you can, you know, this is so complicated.
Yeah, it is. Trust me. I've been sitting on this couch for about 8 months struggling with it. Yeah. The other question I have, and it's relevant, and see, this is what's tearing me apart. When you say miracles happen every day, that's what's keeping me alive. Romans 12:12. There's always hope around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
And I read near-death experiences by the thousands. One was that you're not supposed to do it because you never know what's around the corner. And if you just wait a little longer, you might see why you're suffering so much. And miracles can't happen. And I'm a little concerned that, well, maybe if I go through death with dignity and take that compassionate exit without all the suffering, maybe I'll find out I went too soon.
Right, but you're not going to get punished for that.
Well, I'm not worried about punishment.
Right, good. That's the only thing. Otherwise, you have the free will. We talked about that earlier. I'm not saying to do something, to not do something.
Right.
I don't think you should have pain, though. You should be taking something if there's pain.
They've given me some pain meds, and it kind of works. It makes it tolerable, but you know, there's a lot. It's more complicated than I even knew. They didn't tell me how.
How long have they given you, Mike?
I'm sorry.
How long have they given you?
Well, it's complicated because I'm not playing their game, and so they don't know. They're not really watching me because I've refused their therapy. I can't tell you.
So you're not doing the radiation or the chemo?
No, that's what I was going to say. What difference does it make if you're going to die? It's your time. That's why I called you when you said that.
Yeah.
I said that. That's exactly what I said. It's your time. When it's your time, it's your time. None of that radiation is going to change that.
But however much time you have, and we're all heading to the same end. I mean, all of us.
We're all going to get down there somewhere.
Yeah, we're all going to leave the physical body and go back to the other side. That's
exactly
what's going to happen.
Well, I guess what I'm more concerned with is the loved ones here. I've got family here, and they're watching me suffer.
Yeah.
I can't put them through this.
Yeah.
Well, what are you saying, Michael?
Well, I've got, you know, I live in Idaho. I'm close to Washington State. I've been moving to Washington State, and Oregon, I think, has death with dignity. I'm not sure. I was just looking for a general layout, but I don't know what the moral implications are. I was just wondering, through your experiences, Doctor, if you had any of your reincarnated patients come out and say, yeah, I committed suicide, and I learned this, or I learned that, and there's some...
Yeah, we have, and some have to come back quicker here because suicide is not the way. But again, there are different types and levels of suicide.
Uh-huh.
The one with the consequences seems to be the one where there's not a need for it. There are other alternative ways to deal with it, like the stockbroker or extortion or shame or this or that. When it's from severe, irreversible illness or mental illness, the consequences aren't the same. It's not a punishment thing, but you can still learn every day here. So that's where it gets very complicated. If they have medications to help with pain, only you are in control of your life that way. I think you sound, your mind is sharp. there's still, you're there, and you'll know when it's time. You'll know.
That's a comforting thought, and again, it's struggling with the moral implications of this because you have so many religious institutions barking at you, saying, no, you're going to go to hell, you're going to do this, you're going to do that. And,
yeah.
The only message I've ever even trusted about spirituality was in your death experience, and so that's why I was so attuned to you when you said that. I said,
well, you're not going to go to hell, Michael, no matter what, but look, I'm putting you on the Friday prayer list, that's for sure.
Yeah, we really hope you do well and that you have not a great deal of pain, as much as possible. Your mind is still there and your family's there, so this is why it's up to you.
And not that it's a cure, because I can't go there, but take the supplement bitter melon. I'm hearing some incredible things about that. I'm a stickler for stuff like that, Brian.
Well, the immune system, anything that helps the immune system can be very useful.
Yep, absolutely. Shirley's in Monticello, Iowa. Hi, Shirley. Thanks for holding.
Oh, I can feel for your previous caller that I heard his plight, and I'm going to pray for him.
Thank you.
His prayer can move mountains.
Yes.
And I will pray for him. Now, what happened to me, I was very unhappy in my marriage, 14 years of life of being an Iowa farmer's wife, and I thought I was loved. I found for my son, my husband didn't love me the last 10 years of our marriage. And now I see why I did what I did. I didn't know why I did it when I was alive. And why I did it, I was delirious, and I didn't think he wanted me, and I took a bottle of pills. I went to the hospital, and not thinking I'd make it, they put me into the room, and I thought I was going to be a goner. But they performed a miracle, and they said they almost lost me. And when I come back, I said, thank you to the Lord for saving my life, for I wouldn't have had my daughter, Crystal.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very fortunate to be here.
Mm-hmm.
The doctors do perform miracles, but God had a hand in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, doctors can only do so much. But
I'm very fortunate to be here, and I was blind for a whole day.
But your daughter came after that.
Huh?
Your daughter came after that?
Yeah, she was born after that, and I was very fortunate that I didn't lose her in the process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't your time either. And again, the doctors were able to turn it around to some extent. You still had a lot of living to do and to raise your daughter. So.
Yes, I do, and now she's 30 years old. It happened some time back, a while back, but you never forget those times when you could have been lost, and I felt like a lost sheep of the Lord, and I was found.
Mm-hmm. But,
and I've come to the Lord, and I found out that I do have a purpose in life.
Mm-hmm.
Good for you.
Absolutely.
It is amazing, though, Brian, how we're all going to meet the same fate.
Yes, while Shirley was telling me that, I was thinking also of my youngest brother is an oncologist, a cancer doctor in St. Louis, and he tells me from time to time some wonderful stories, and just he observes what happens. He's open-minded enough because he knows my work and similar things to just keep an open mind, and he tells his patients, you can tell me anything. I'll be open-minded. I want to hear it. And he had a professor from Washington University there in St. Louis. A professor was a patient. The professor had cancer. And the professor was kind of agnostic, didn't believe in much. And an angel came to the professor and would take what he called bricks out of his abdomen. I don't know that they weren't really bricks. The angel came and did this, and the pain disappeared. The pain was terrible pain. And he was not getting morphine or any other medicine. The angel came and did this and told him things and showed him relatives. And there was a whole spiritual experience that my brother got to witness, to observe, in this agnostic professor who was having these experiences. And it wasn't taking any medicine, so it wasn't like he was delirious from medication or anything like that. This was his actual experience. This angel came and got rid of his pain. I don't know if, you know, Michael's going to have something like that happen, but you never know.
No, you do never know.
You never know.
Let us go to Edmund in Richmond, Virginia. Hey, Edmund, thank you. Go ahead.
How you doing, sir?
Good, good.
Yeah,
I was a long-haul truck driver a long time ago, and I was very tired one night coming up the road, going through Tennessee and Kentucky. And the road I was on, it was in the mountains, and it had some steep ravines inside of it. But anyway, I was going up the road, and next thing I knew, I looked, and I was kind of on the side of the road, and those little magic marker things that flex the side road markers, I'd knocked down about five of them, and I kind of woke up, and I went, oh, man, I can't believe I did that. But at that time, I looked in my mirror, and his truck pulled up behind me. The guy gets out, he runs up beside me, he says, are you all right? You all right? And I went, yeah, I think so. Why? And he said, you don't know? And I said, no. What? He says, you had actually run off the road. You were going down into the ravine. He said, you see all them boulders in the river down at the bottom? I said, yeah. He said, right before you got there, he says, somebody must love you or like you or thinks the world of you, because all of a sudden the truck turned to the left. And he said, it looked like a hand or something just pushed that truck right back up. He said, that's a steep ravine right there. I said, well, I didn't have nothing to do with it. And I said, I don't know what to tell you on that. He says, well, that's a miracle you're still here. He said, you should be dead. And I said, let's don't go there and let's talk about that. So after that was on, I said, well, let me go on down the road here a little bit. Well, about 5 minutes later, I evidently was going to fall asleep and run off the road again. I was really tired. And I'm the only one that ever rode in the truck. Nobody ever rode with me. It was a big, you know, single wide. And I'm going the road. And the next thing I know, I hear this voice in the back. You can't describe it. I don't know where it come from. It said, Edmund. And I turned around real quick and I went, what? And I looked back at the windshield real quick. And I was about to run off the road again. So I stopped. I said, I'm not going any further. I've had two warnings here and two miracles in the last hour. And I'm done for the day. So I'm lucky to be here. And on another note, real quick, Mr. Norrie and Dr. Wise, y'all can discuss and give me the conclusions. You brought up the thing about ancient aliens. Well, I've seen you on that on the channel here where I live, and I have a fascination with UFOs and ancient aliens and the whole stuff like that. And for some reason, I can relate to that stuff. I caught myself one day sitting in a chair watching it, and I went, been there, done that. And then I called myself, wait a minute, why did I say that? How do I know this stuff? I said, something's going on here, and I don't know what it is. So you tell me what y'all think about that.
Synchronicity.
Yeah. I also think Edmund has psychic abilities. You know, like he's recognizing that connection to the extraterrestrial. He knew that. So when it comes into his head, that was like, his higher wisdom saying, yeah, been there, done that. But he had a double miracle there, like goes off the road, going down a ravine, and a witness sees like a hand pushing a huge truck back up to the road. Because it wasn't Edmund, he wasn't really driving at that point. He was falling asleep. Goes off, starts to fall asleep again, and hears a voice reminding him, look, wake up. You're going to do it again. It was a double, and that's synchronicity. It's grace, and he's intuitive. He knows things. So that's a great. We should pay attention, by the way, to our intuitive abilities.
Not a lot of people do that, though, Brian.
I know, but it's so important in saving you from dangerous situations. You get a gut feeling. Don't go against it. Listen to your intuitions, because it can really protect you from harm. It's very important to trust your intuitions. You can still be, you know, balance it with reason and logic, but don't disregard your intuitions.
Let's grab one more quick call. Pamela in Madison, Wisconsin. Go ahead, Pam.
Hi.
Howdy.
Hi. How are you?
Good. Good.
You enjoying tonight?
Always. I hope you are too.
Oh, yeah. Dr. Weiss?
Yes.
You're talking about miracles, and I could, you know, I mean, we could talk for days and days about the things that I've seen in my life.
How about just about a minute?
Pardon?
How about just a minute's worth?
Well, what I was just going to say was that when I heard Michael speaking, my father had cancer, colon cancer, and he died at age 76. He'd be 80-something now. And I found out at that time that I had the same gene. And I realized at that point in time was it was in 77, and I realized at that point in time that in 1954 I had talked to my grandmothers about where I was going to be at my age now, at 64. And through all these years, I have seen miracle after miracle after miracle happening. We're given a purpose in life, and we have a path to follow, and there's so many people that don't follow that path that get sidetracked and lose touch. And I finally went from being like, you're crazy for thinking you can control or know what's happening to your life, to being told things like, I'm a ministering angel. You can't really explain things. And when you try to talk to authorities, I can help you find somebody. They say, and then they find that person. They say, well, we really can't use it because we don't, you know, it's not something tangible. It's not something that we can thank you for.
Well, not a lot of people understand it. That's the whole issue. Brian, we're out of time, but you are, as you know, my friend, welcome anytime.
Oh, thank you, George. It's such a pleasure being with you and having this wonderful show, this miracle show tonight.
Miracles happen. Dr. Brian Weiss. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, George Knapp, John B. Wells, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, we'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.